Let's look at chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. Chapter 2, 2 Timothy. Let's start in verse 15. Everybody there? Oh, I moved and now I'm not there. All right. Verse 15 of 2 Timothy chapter 2. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. Be diligent to present yourself. Not your mother, not your son, not your second cousin, but be diligent to present yourself. Who presents you? Who presents you? You do. To whom? To God. How? Approved. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If you can rightly divide the word of truth, which is the Bible, does that mean you can wrongly divide it? I mean, if you've got to rightly divide it, that means it can be wrongly divided, right? If you can rightly understand something, you can wrongly understand it or misunderstand it, right? But shun profane, and the Greek word there is actually heathen. Shun profane, heathenistic, and idle babblings which are godless. They're empty chatter. Empty chatter. Just talking. How about it's flu and cold season? That could be idle chatter, right? We don't ever have cold and flu season at our house. I mean, sometimes we get some symptoms that hang around a while, but we don't get cold and flu season. The only time I've ever had a flu shot was when she was in the NIC unit, and in order to go in and see her, we had to. Do you know what the flu shot is? It's the flu! They inject you with the flu! So they require you to be injected with the flu before you can go into the NIC unit. Do you know how many people get sick after they take the flu shot? Most everybody. Christina's back there waving around, me. It's a live bacteria of the virus. But shun profane, heathen, and empty chatter, for they will increase to more ungodliness. So if we're to present ourselves diligently, part of our presenting ourselves diligently right here has a lot to do with what you say, doesn't it? Right? That's what he just said. This is ungodly talk. It's things the heathen say. The ungodly, those who don't know God. That's ungodly. Heathen are people who don't know God. They don't have a relationship with him. So people who are saying those kinds of things, should the church be involved in that kind of talk? No, the kind of talk we need to be involved in is, well, I've got a symptom, but thank you, Jesus, that by his stripes I was healed. He himself bore my sickness on the cross. Behold, I am the Lord your God that healeth thee. Forget not all his benefits, who heals you from all of your sicknesses and diseases. Hallelujah. That's your talk. That's God-filled talk. That's God-filled language. That's God-filled communication. Diligently present yourself before him. Everything we do and say, I guess, can you go too high to get away from him? Can you go too low? Can you hide under a rock? My mom, when she was young, she'd been to church, and she knew that there was going to be a terrible end time tribulation, and that God was going to be raining down fire. You know what her plan was? To hide in a metal trash can behind the wood shack. You cannot hide from him in a trash can behind the woodshed. You know, it wasn't until we moved here that I really had a really good understanding of woodshed. I mean, really, people, you know, it's like woodshed. You're like, oh, it's a shed you keep wood in. It's really important. And there is a backside of it that you can take children to if you need to. I'm just saying. And their message, the Logos message, their word, whose word? The ungodly, spread like cancer. cancer. Spreads like cancer. Bad words spread like cancer. Notice that the equating there between ungodly words, which spread like cancer, and godly words that present you diligently before Him. Ungodly words spread like cancer. Ungodly language spreads like cancer. Do you want to be like somebody who speaks like cancer?
No.
Words that spread, that eat up and devour and take away from your life. Because that's what cancer is, isn't it? Cancer eats up good cells with bad cells. Bad language eats up your life like cancer does. Bad communication eats up your life like cancer does. Do you want to have words coming out of your mouth that spread in your body and in your family like cancer? You know, one of the first things we decided when we got married, we are never, the word divorce is not an option. Because as soon as you start talking about it, it spreads like a cancer. Pretty soon, then you're considering it. Don't consider it. Don't consider those things. They're ungodly. They're heathen. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort, who have strayed concerning the truth, saying that the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith or the belief of some. Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are His, and let the name everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity or sin. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor and some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, which is dishonor, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. It is our responsibility as believers to sanctify ourselves as vessels of honor. Some people say, well, God just favors that person over this one. No, He doesn't. God favors His word.
That's right.
God favors His word. If a person is putting the word of God first in their lives, they're making themselves a vessel of honor. They're shunning evil. They're speaking the word of God. They're speaking words of life. It's up to the individual. I can't make you a vessel of honor. I can't make my kids vessels of honor. I can't make my wife a vessel of honor. I can make myself a vessel of honor. I can do that. I can teach people how to become vessels of honor. I can show the way to becoming a vessel of honor. Sanctified, which means to be set apart. See, you know, a person that you see that is really highly used of God in soul winning or healings and miracles or drawing great crowds to hear the word preached, God did not just put a special anointing on them because He thought, well, this is a good person, I can use that one. No, they sanctified themselves. They set themselves apart. They devoted themselves to the word of God. If we devote ourselves to the Word of God, we're sanctifying and setting ourselves apart. We're making ourselves to be vessels of honor. We're shunning evil. We're removing evil speak from our mouths. Wicked communications. Well, therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, which is dishonor, he will be a vessel of honor, useful for the master. Who's the master? It's Jesus. You know, we say Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Is He?
Yes.
Is He your Lord?
Yes.
He's your Savior.
Yes.
But is He your Lord?
Yes.
He's your Lord if you're making yourself a vessel of honor. Because He's your master. We don't like to say master or Lord. I joke around with Kathy all the time. Shh. I'm getting to it. I tattle on myself. You don't have to worry about it. Daddy tattles on himself just fine. It says that Sarah called Abraham Lord. And he's the father of faith. Am I the father of faith? All that is that's a, it's a term of respect. June's throwing things at me. It's a term of respect. If do you walk into your doctor's office and say, "Hey, Phil"? The doctor has earned a degree, hasn't he? And as a point of respect, you refer to him as your doctor. Okay? The president, whether you like the current president or the last president, or you don't like any of them and you can't wait until all this is over and there's something else in 4 to 8 years. You know, I mean, when, you know, 100 years ago, or 200 years ago, England had one queen for 65 years. 65 years. Whether you liked her or not, she was queen. They have a current queen who's been queen now. It's been 67. I don't remember. Anyway, but she's been queen, but she's not the absolute ruler over England anymore. Whether you like her or not, she's the queen. What is your job? If you're one of her subjects, to respect her, to honor her. You may not like some of the things that she does. You may not like some of the things somebody who's an authority does. But what does the Bible tell us to do? To honor those who are in authority over us. To pray for them.
That's right.
You know, when Barack Obama was president, this thing went around, you know, pray, you know, people would say, well, pray for him, you know, that something would happen to him and another would take his place. Well, no, that's not how God meant to pray. And if you're praying that way for this current president, that's not the way God meant for you to pray either.
That's right.
Pray for them as somebody who loves you and has your best interests in mind. Pray for them as somebody who is God has set apart to be the head over the nation.
That's right.
Okay? It's the same way with a husband and a wife. We're to pray for each other. The Bible tells me to wash her with the water of the word. What does that mean? I speak the word over her. You're just a lousy person and you're so hard to get along with. I can't believe this, you know. Well, what is that kind of marriage is that going to get? And then you vowed never to get divorced, too. Oh, Lord. No, you speak the word over them. Come on. Paul said, whatever situation you find yourself in when you get saved, whether you're married or not married or you're married to an unbeliever, do your best to stay that way because that's what's best. If your unbelieving spouse is okay with you being a believer and they don't give you any trouble over it, stay with them. He says, who knows that by your behavior and your chaste attitude, you might win them over to the Lord, right? Isn't that more important than getting your way on everything? Of course, there are, you know, circumstances. God doesn't want you to hang around with somebody who's abusive. All right? Verse 22. Here's some ways. Flee also youthful lusts. Uh-oh. Don't gasp. But pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the name of the Lord out of a pure heart. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes. Hello. Oh, that's a hard one, isn't it? But I just don't agree with her. I don't like the way she does this, and I don't like the way she does that. Well, it's mine. I bought it, and I brought it to the church. I get to decide how it's used. No, you don't, honey. You bought it and brought it and gave it to the church. You don't get to decide how it's used. Okay? Listen, if you don't like the way the church is going to use something you gave to it, stop giving stuff like that to the church. Okay? If you give something to someone and they just totally trash it, hey, you gave it away.
That's right.
Don't dispute over it. Don't argue over it. Listen, there are very few people in this world that I agree 100% with on anything. I have a very good example. We have a gal that we met when we were, they had a preemie in the NIC unit, and we had Faith in the NIC unit at the same time. And she's a fan of the previous president. Listen, I'm just a fan of platforms, okay? I'm a platform guy, okay? I vote on platform. I don't necessarily agree with personalities, okay? But I'm a platform guy. And you got to line up biblically. You know, you've got to have all your ducks in a row, as far as I'm concerned. And then we start with the big things and work down, okay? She and I don't agree politically. Do you know what? If I post something she doesn't like, she doesn't argue with me about it on Facebook. That's a dispute. If she posts something that I don't agree with, I don't argue with her. Why? Because we're both bigger than that. You don't, listen, Pastor Ray used to say all the time, you can be right, but you don't have to be right. You can be right and convicted in your heart that you're right, but that doesn't mean you have to convince everybody around you that you're right.
That's right. Yep, that's right.
Those are disputes over things that you don't need to dispute over. Come on. Because here's a surprise. I can see both sides of the aisle politically. Okay? God has helped me with that. But avoid foolish and ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. Don't they? You ever get in an argument with somebody and you just feel all strife-bound by it and you think, wow, I wish I'd avoided that conversation? Come on. Avoid the conversation from then on. Avoid it. And a servant of the Lord, listen, verse 24, and a servant of the Lord must not quarrel. You must not quarrel. If you are a servant of the Lord, do not quarrel. You must not. Don't do it. Don't argue just for the sake of arguing. Because you must not. But be gentle. Be gentle to all, able to teach, patient. Patient. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If somebody's open to correction, they say, well, I don't understand. Why do you think that? Well, gently, you can tell them why you think that. If it changes their opinion, it changes. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Okay? I can talk to you all day long about tongues. And if you just think that for some reason it's wrong, I'm not going to force it on you. Listen, man, I wouldn't want to live my life without the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Come on. I get so much charge out of that. And I'm praying in tongues. Man, I get built up so fast over that. Come on. It's a good thing. But if you don't want to do it, I'm not going to make you do it. I'm not going to argue with you about it. In humility, correcting those who are in opposition. If God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Listen, every single one of us has some area in our life where we are unsubmitted to God. You know it. Don't lie. I have areas I'm not submitted. I know it. I'm working on it. Who leads us astray? Is it God?
No,
it's the devil. He's the one who leads us off. He does it. God don't do it. God's good, devil bad. God good, devil bad. That's right. God is good all the time. And all the time, God is good. It doesn't change. Jesus said that he came to give life and that more abundantly. He said the devil came only to steal, kill, and to destroy. If it's killing, stealing, and destroying, it's the devil. If it's bringing life and help and abundance to you, it's God. You can see clearly. I can see clearly now. I know, I can see. As soon as I said you can see clearly, I saw her head start to bob back and forth. She's thinking the song too, right? All right, turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. See, the devil leads us off, and he's He plants things in our minds. He puts things in your head. You know, you got a cough. You know, you probably have throat cancer. What? Where did that come from? Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but in absence am bold toward you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intended to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war against the flesh. You're not in a battle with your body. You're not in a battle with your spouse. Oh, that's important. Parents, you're not in a battle with your teenagers. Come on. Our battle is not with the flesh. We're not warring according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshly, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought captive into captivity in the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when our obedience is fulfilled. Well, what does that mean? And how does that... When the devil comes and he puts thoughts in your head, right? How do you get rid of them? You cast them down. You say, no, the Word of God says this about my situation. It says, my children are blessed. It says, my bank account is blessed. Well, does it say that? Yes, absolutely it does. If you'll obey the Lord, he will bless your cattle. He'll bless your increase. He'll bless your farms, right? That's your increase. That's why we can stand and we can say, Lord, I just thank you for jobs, and better jobs. I thank you for promotions and increases and raises for every person here on their job in Jesus' name. Why? Because it's part of the benefits. Remember the benefit package of God? Come on, he's got a benefit package. Come on, casting down arguments. Your body is going to argue with you. It's going to say, I am tired and I don't feel good. Cast it down. No, you're not tired and worn down and wearing out. Just because you're 60 or 70 doesn't mean it's time to die. 80 or 90, it's just not time to die. Cast down the argument. You don't have to be tired and broke down and in pain and hurting all the time. You know, people get to be a certain age and they say, well, you know, that happens when you get that age. Don't! That's like saying it's cold and flu season. June, it's cold and flu season. You better get all your vitamin C and everything out. Make sure you get plenty of, you know, the hand sanitizers and Lysol spray. You don't want to catch anything. Well, don't go looking for it. Don't go looking for it. Cast down those thoughts and imaginations. With your finances. I don't know, it doesn't look like we've got enough to make it to the end of the month. Why? We're blessed and highly favored. The blessing of the Lord comes upon us and overtakes us. Come on. You got increase. God's got ways of increasing you that you don't know of. He's got ways of promoting you that you don't know of. So my best buddy right now down in Southern California, he's in a horrible job situation. He does not moan and groan about it. He knows that God's going to take care of it. He's got two possible things he's working on. One of them might actually bring them closer here, which would be really happy for me. And these other jobs, man, they are massively pursuing him. Why? Because he walks in favor. He walks in favor. Friend of ours, she's been working on applying for disability for years. So he said, we've got the thing, favor. She said, well, pray for me. And I said, oh, we're praying for you. You've got favor. She walks in. Well, she got approved for her disability. Not that, you know, we're looking for ways to get disability or payments or something like this, but God's working with her. She's a widow. She's got a lot of physical problems. I can't take care of all of her physical problems. I can't make her walk in health. But God can show her favor. God can help her. Come on. God is working here at the church, working things out, causing things to increase. Do you believe it? Do you believe that when you walk into your job? Come on, listen. There's your part, though, on your job. Are you walking in, talking bad about the boss, talking bad about the company? Huh? Because if you are, you're not working as unto the Lord, are you? He wants us to work unto him. You work as though you're working for him. If you'll work as though you're working for him, he's going to open opportunities for you. When you're working in the church, when you're volunteering and helping in the church, if you're doing it as unto him, he's going to increase you. Remember my friend Dana that came for the ladies' conference this last September? Oh, man, come on. She was what? Do you remember? She was the janitor in the church. God used her to start over 50 individual small prayer groups in the church. Now she's got a ministry. She goes around preaching and teaching and praying. Come on. You can go from scrubbing toilets to having an international ministry. Toilets are very important. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. If we can present ourselves, and that's our responsibility, to present ourselves as vessels of honor, we're going to have to cast down all the things that dishonor. Remember, he said, if you make yourself, I cannot make you a vessel of honor. I can't make Kathy, although Kathy's a great vessel of honor, I can't make anybody else be a vessel of honor. I can only do me. I can only take care of me. You can only take care of you. You can't make your spouse come along with you. You want to get baptized in the Holy Ghost, the evidence of speaking in other tongues. You want to have wisdom and revelation. Come on, God's going to use you in that. He will, if that's your expectation. You want to see signs and wonders, healings and miracles. You want to see revival break out. Come on, I want to see revival break out. I've been praying for revival for nearly 20 years. I haven't seen it happen yet. I've seen outpourings. I've seen sprinkles. I've seen some rain come down. And I've seen some things, but not like what I'm expecting. Amen. And do I know it's going to happen? I do. I know it's going to happen. I don't know for how long. I mean, it might just be right before Jesus comes. Come on. He's coming for a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. Who makes you a glorious church without spot or wrinkle? No. We do. We present ourselves before him. We make ourselves vessels of honor. Yeah, on the inside, I'm just as righteous as I'm ever going to be.
That's right.
But on the outside, I need to start working with this. Josiah comes and he says, he's just eating another cookie or something. Well, why? My brain made me do it. I had to pull another ticket in school today, Daddy. I'm sorry. Well, why? Oh, my brain made me do it. Okay, he's 6. He's going to be 7. Trying to explain to him, you have to control your thoughts. You cannot be led astray by every thought that pops into your head. You can't be a vessel of honor just being led by every thought that pops into your head. Listen, the world has its view. It'll say that it's okay to behave a certain way. But is that what God says about it? Does God say that it's okay to have premarital sex? No! You're supposed to save yourself. Does God want you using psychotropic drugs? No! Why? Because then you really can't control your own thoughts, can you? Man, I mean, whoosh, you're out there! I had some serious back pain, and I had the Vicodin. And I had to say, man, I was wacko for several hours. I was like, I couldn't, I mean, I had no control. Does God want us like that?
No.
Heat and ice are better. Heat and ice, you keep control of your mental faculties with heat and ice. Come on, God doesn't want us losing control of our mind. If we'll cast down thoughts and imaginations and make ourselves vessels of honor fit for his use, then he can use you. He can use me. I want to be used. I want to be used by God. Come on. Do you want to be used by God? I want to be used by God. I want to be somebody that when I enter into heaven, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into thy rest. Enter into the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of heaven. Come on, that's what I want. Isn't that what you want? I mean, because the other side to that is you get burnt, things get burned off on your way in, and you come in smelling like smoke. Come on, 1 Corinthians 3. Wood, hay, and stubble burned off, but at least you're saved. No! That's like the person who says, well, I'll just be happy with the little cabin on the outskirts of heaven. No! I want front row seating. I want front row seating. I want to be close to the temple. I want to be, one person said, I want to be under the spout where the glory pours out. That's my goal. I want to be under the spout where the glory pours out. Isn't that better? To be under the spout where the glory pours out? Under the presence of God? Walk in the streets just like Peter. And people bring out the sick and put them on the street so that when his shadow passes by, they're healed. Isn't that better? And you just walk with God and be like Enoch, who walked with God and was not, for the Lord took him. Come on, what a way to go out, to just walk with God. Phil Halverson, having a prayer meeting in a church in Minneapolis. Man, I'm telling you, nobody could pray like Phil and Fern Halverson. Man, they'd just get over there in the spirit. Things would start to happen. He got over there into the spirit, and he left. And he didn't come back. Isn't that a better way to go? I mean, isn't that a better way to go? Yeah, I mean, you can go like that, or you can go to cancer. No, I want to go like that. I want to go in a prayer meeting. Kathy and I can go together when the kids are in their 30s. That seems fair, right? 40s, 50s. Hey, listen, you know, I was thinking, you know, I'm 52 years old. In 20 years, I'll only be 72. I still won't be as old as my dad. No, but listen, because my dad is 78. Look at him. Does he look 78? And over here, we've got Teddy. Teddy is 89. 89 years old. Come on, do you think you can go a few more years? How much longer can you go and just be in the presence of God, making yourself a vessel of honor, being obedient to God, doing the things God has called you to do, walking with him and not with the world? I've got, you know, if I gauge things right, I could be pastor here for another 30 years before I feel like retiring. Do you know what I'm saying? I could, you know... I mean, in 30 years, Faith will be 43.
Wow.
Right? All adopted. She's adopting, she says. Come on, there's no time expiration. If you're in your 50s or 60s or 70s, and you're just now, you're thinking to yourself, what have I been doing the last 30 years as a Christian? Well, stop doing that. Change it now. You can start being somebody different now. You can start making yourself a vessel of honor now. It's better to start making yourself a vessel of honor now than to never do it. Right, Faith? Amen. It's best to be a vessel of honor. I'm making myself a vessel of honor. Every day, I'm casting down thoughts and imaginations. I'm reading the Word of God. I'm getting the Word of God in me. You know, Matthew... Here we go. Let me get my notes again. We've hardly been on my notes at all. This is great. Matthew 15, Matthew 15. Verse 7. Hypocrites. That's always nice, right? Pastor called us hypocrites. No. Jesus did. Hypocrites. Well, did Isaiah prophesy? He was talking to the Pharisees at the time. Prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth, honor me with their lip, and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Do you know what that means? Man, they had so many doctrines concerning cleanliness and washing of hands. And man, you know the command about Sabbath? The only thing that you'll find about it is to keep it holy, to remember the Lord and to keep it holy, and to cease from your regular work. Oh, you know, they got all kinds of rituals now. Man, I'm telling you. I've got a friend who's a born-again Christian, and she was raised Reformed Orthodox Jew. That means that they could drive to synagogue on Saturday. Their cousins walked and threw rocks at them for driving. The doctrine they're teaching commandment, the commandments of men. You know, God never said anything about don't drive to church. They didn't have cars back then. I'm sure it wouldn't have been considered work. It is more work to walk. They actually had a commandment that you couldn't. You couldn't have a fire going. You couldn't start a fire. And then some of them said you couldn't have a fire started on Friday that continued into Saturday because that was still work left over from Friday. But you could move a sofa upstairs. teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. I'm going to keep the fire and not move the sofa. When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand. Hear and understand, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. It's not what you eat. It's not what you drink that defiles you. Yeah, there are things you should stay away from. Okay? There are some things that, I mean, come on, we were talking with Christina before church and she's given up sugar. Well, that's good. You know that sugar is worse for you than almost anything else, and it's more addictive than crack cocaine. Cancer feeds, or sugar feeds cancer cells? They know that. Should you stop eating sugar? Probably. Chuck is like, yeah, I told you. Come on, there are things, but listen, that's not the point. The point isn't what you put into your mouth. It's what comes out. In order to be a vessel of honor, watch what comes out of your mouth. Don't just pay him lip service. Well, I went to church on Sunday and I sang some worship songs. I said, amen, Pastor. I said, amen, at all the right times. And some other times that, you know. It's what comes out. Jesus said, it's not what you put in, it's your words that defile you. Things you say defile you. It is defiled to say, it's cold and flu season, I'm going to stock up on everything, because every year at this time we get the cold. Every year at this time we get the flu. Well, my great uncle died from lung cancer. My mama died from lung cancer. What does that mean? Well, that means they died from cancer. Doesn't mean you're going to. Don't defile yourself by even toying with the idea that you're going to die of cancer. Get those words out of your mouth. Oh, I love Debbie. She said, after everything that they went through, she said, they went and they couldn't even find the spot where they had seen the cancer spots on her bladder. They had to go back to the scans to look for them so they'd know where to clean. And she said, Pastor, healing was already working in me. Yeah, of course it is. Because the word of God, every word of God, is healing for your body. Even Leviticus and Deuteronomy. And they're good for helping you to sleep. They give you a good, peaceful night's sleep. help you fall asleep. He says he gives his beloved rest. And what by that he meant is by reading Leviticus and Deuteronomy. I'm just kidding. There's really good stuff in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. In fact, it's in Deuteronomy that that's where you're going to find out the blessing of the Lord.
That's right.
Come on. Come on. He wants you to live a happy, blessed life. He wants you to be a vessel of honor that he can use. Somebody that he can say, well done, faithful servant. Amen. Come on. He doesn't want you coming in smelling like smoke. Now, don't get all bent out of shape if you smoke cigarettes. That's not what that means. Okay? Come on. There's, you know, always somebody. Pastor said smoking cigarettes is a sin. You're going to go to hell. No, that's not what he said. I know people say things like that, though. Isn't that silly? They do. And it's mostly Christians who say it. Oh, dear. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Father, for your word. Oh, we thank you, Father. Help us. Help us to become vessels of honor fit for your use. Help us to become vessels of honor. Speak to us. Do you know that he will help you? He will help you be a vessel of honor. Say, Lord. Come on. Lord. Help me. To be a vessel of honor.
Show me
what I need to do to change so I can be a vessel of honor fit for your use in the Master's house. In Jesus' name. Amen.